guys, or just...
Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshipper, lover of leaving, ours is no caravan of despair. Come, yet again come. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshipper, lover of living, was this caravan of despair. Come yet again, whoever you are, wanderer, worshipper, lover of leaving, causes no caravan of despair. Come yet again, whoever of leaving, causes no
Assalamu alaikum. Excellent. May peace be upon you. This is our traditional greeting in Islam. This greeting is meant as an invocation, as we say that Allah is as-salam, or is the peace. So any peace that we experience is divine presence. So when we greet each other with assalamu alaikum, we are invoking that divine peace between ourselves, between each other, and in our world community. So may that peace dwell with us and be with us in this space. And I also offer a Ramadan Mubarak, which is to wish you a blessed Ramadan as we are in the month of fasting and dryness. I think I'm on about day 8 of the fast now, and I just got a little slip under my hotel door that said there's a heat wave warning. So everything may be flow of consciousness from this point forward. My name's Reverend Jeremiah Callenday, and I serve as the Admissions and Recruitment Director at Star King School for the Ministry and as a community minister at our church in Berkeley, California. It's great to be with you and facilitating this workshop, The Lovers of Love, offered by Star King School for the Ministry and Friends. I'd like to begin with the opening with the Fatiha, which is the opening verses of the Quran, the most common prayer in Islam, to mark our time together. I will offer it first in Arabic and second in a Sufi translation of these words. Join me if you know it, and astaghfirullah, God forgive me, and may you forgive me for my Arabic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayr al-Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdaleen. Amin. And with these opening words of the Quran, we say, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the infinitely merciful, you unto who all praise and gratitude is due, you who is the ruler of the day of awakening, may you guide our hearts in the ways that are right and good, and keep us from straying from your eternal path. May it be so. So many people don't know that Star King School for the Ministry, one of our two Unitarian Universalist identity schools. Do I have any Star King students or grads or ministers? Excellent. We have some Star King presence in the room. Is both a Unitarian Universalist school and a multi-religious seminary. And what that means is that a significant portion of our student body comes from a variety of traditions, but they want to study in the context of Unitarian Universalism and in the context of progressive theological education. And actually, almost 20% of our student body is Muslim and Sufi, which is a pretty amazing thing. Starking has been at the forefront of carving out space for progressive Islam, that's feminist Islam, womanist Islam, queer Islam, liberatory Islam, along all of the different vectors of ability and access, along vectors of oppression, as a part of our commitments to creating a multi-religious community, a multi-religious world that's counter-oppressive and justice-focused in the world. Now, Unitarian Christianity, it's often been noted that Unitarian Christianity in its earliest form was actually the form of Christianity that was the most like Islam, because it declared a strict monotheism, which is the essential doctrine of Islam, is Unitarianism, or the oneness of God. It didn't reject Jesus, but embraces Jesus, peace be upon him, as a prophet and as a leader in the way of righteousness, in the way of justice, and in the way of those who are called to be prophets and messengers. And there's no notion of original sin, and Islam sees itself, like Unitarianism did, as one of many expressions of faith that were all related to each other and were siblings to each other, not an ultimate truth or a dominating truth. Now, when I arranged for this zikr, which is what we call a traditional ceremony of remembrance in Sufism, I had asked for a room to be set up in circles, because we don't usually do this kind of like lecture format. We usually like to sit in circles. It's not a very westernized format. We like to sit equally with each other, to see into each other's eyes and into each other's hearts and beings. So let us imagine that. And in this space, we hope to offer some zikr, or chant of remembrance, some which will come from Sufi tradition, some which will come from Christian and UU tradition. So this is a truly multi-religious zikr that we're creating. It's really something new that we haven't done in a space like this before. There'll be tales of pilgrimage. There'll be offerings of devotion, of poetry, an opportunity to maybe try to whirl, if you've ever wondered about Sufi whirling, and lots of fun, which are all hallmarks of Sufi culture. But central to all of Sufism is the praising and honoring and celebrating of the beloved, which is the beloved Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the Mighty and the Majestic, is that which is the core, we say in Sufism, of our being, and truly the core of reality, and that core is love. It's the very active, living essence of love that undergirds all of being. So in Sufism, we develop the spiritual technologies of accessing and harnessing that love for our own individual transformations and for collective liberation. So may we seek out that love as we praise the beloved, know that this is to what we surrender ourselves in Islam and to which we orient ourselves. For we know, even as it is taught in the Christian scriptures, that God is love. So in some sense, Sufis are often called the lovers of love. I would also say that us UUs are the lovers of love. So may this union birth something holy and amazing this afternoon. And I'd like to quickly introduce our panel of distinguished guests who represent a variety of UU, Buddhist, multi-religious, Muslim, UU Muslim, and Sufi traditions. Starting at the far end of the table, I have our musical leads this evening, Sophia Betancourt and Abby Tennis, Reverend Sophia and Abby, who are both Unitarian Universalist ministers. Abby is the incoming Minister of Worship and Pastoral Care at our congregation in Oakland. And Sophia is just finishing up her time in Fresno, and flow of consciousness, and is returning to finish her PhD work at Yale. We are joined also by the Reverend Meg Riley, a distinguished Unitarian Universalist minister and minister of our Church of the Larger Fellowship, by the Reverend Wayne Arneson, a minister of West Shore Unitarian Universalist, co-parish minister of West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church in Ohio, and Ranwa Hamidi, who is a recent graduate of Union Theological School, a Unitarian Universalist seminarian, and intern minister soon to be in our Walnut Creek congregation in California. So I just want to welcome them all to this space. Now, since we're not allowed to have fire, and we probably don't need any fire, we're going to light the real chalice, which is the chalice of the heart, and the flame of the heart. I want to teach you in Sufi practice, and one of our ways that we praise God is with the sacred pronoun who. Has anyone who'd before? Excellent. So I know in a UU gathering, we can usually find a lot of people have ohmed before, but I'm impressed when we've got this many who's. So I'm going to invite us, after offering these opening words and allowing us to imagine, if you just place your hands over your hearts, lighting that inner fire or returning to that inner fire of the chalice of the heart, I will offer these words of the Quran from Surah An-Nur 24:35. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of the divine light is like a niche within which is a lamp. The lamp is within glass, and the glass as if it were a pearly white star lit from the oil of a blessed olive tree. Neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow even if untouched by fire. Light upon light. Allah guide us to divine light, whom the source of light wills. And Allah presents examples for the people, and Allah is knowing of all things. Beautiful.
Please join us in chanting the name of Allah when you get a sense for the tune and when you feel moved. Allah, Allah, Allah,
Jeremiah said, this dhikr worship is an act of remembrance of God or the divine and our relationships to this divine, to each other, and of divine truths that our world has so violently forgotten, one that we have heard in the streets and see all around on badges and pins today, that Black Lives Matter. The act of remembrance is central to the Islamic traditions and exists within several rituals that many Muslims engage. Prayer 5 times a day is a reorientation to remember God and to return to a place of gratitude. Fasting during this really hot and long time of Ramadan is also a time of remembrance. of God, the gifts we receive, of our responsibility to serve a moral divine will when we witness injustice. And expressions like Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, or Insha'Allah, or the one thing that my parents always said when they were really exasperated with me, Ya Allah! They are also punctuations that remind us of God and the gifts that we receive. And what's wonderful is that there are so many reminders and opportunities for us to reorient and re-engage the remembrance of the divine all around us, taking many different forms. We just have to choose to see them. Those of us that do, that deliberately engage and remember God with our hearts, our minds, and bodies, not just in those traditional prayers, but through all of our words and deeds, we manifest what is known in Islam as taqwa, or consciousness or mindfulness of God. So within the Quran, there are many verses that refer to the ayat, or the signs of God. And not by coincidence, each verse in the Quran is known as an ayah, or a sign of God. Each of these signs of God, they are a sign of that sacred source and truth that's greater than all of us. And they are all meant to help us restore our great taqwa. So there are a few signs within the Quran that I would like to share with you that point to God and those sacred truths that we are striving to remember every day of our lives. I begin with one that we, many of us that are involved in interfaith work, know as probably the most popular one, from the private quarters. People, we created you all from a male and a female and made you into races and tribes so that you should recognize one another. In God's eyes, the most honored of you are the ones most mindful of God. God is all-knowing and all-aware. Within this verse, the sign, we see that there is a divine intentionality to our diversity. And it says that this diversity has a stated purpose. That purpose is for us to recognize one another, to know and to honor the divinity in each other, and to see how the differences between us are reflections of a greater truth that we already inherently know in our hearts. And it also points out that because this difference has a purpose, we're not meant to erase it, but we're meant to embrace it and come together because of our differences. It allows us to increase and embody our gratitude for God when we recognize our differences in one another. The next sign I'd like to share is from the blood clot, or the clinging form, depending on what translation you use. Recite in the name of your God who created humanity from a single clinging form. Recite. Your God is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught humanity what it did not know. Humanity exceeds all bounds when it sees itself as self-sufficient. This verse is about our limitations. It tells us that we need one another, and that there is only so much that we can do as individuals. And in needing one another, we need our differences to complete our understandings of the divine, to complete our understandings of the world. We need our diversity to be able to see and do more together. And we were created from this blood clot, this clinging form, created in connection to be in connection, created to learn and to continue learning from one another through the relationships we build in our differences. The next one is from the bringer of being. Have you not considered how God sends water down from the sky, and that we produce with its fruits of varied colors, that there are in the mountains tracks of white and red of various hues and black, that there are various colors among human beings, wild animals, and livestock too. It is those of God's servants who have knowledge who stand in awe of God. God is almighty and most forgiving. Our differences in this verse are meant to generate awe and to deepen our gratitude and appreciation once more for the gifts we receive from that source that creates and sustains us, however we name it. Our diversity and our difference reflects the many fragments of the divine truth of God that we, in our single, individual, limited essence, can only see a tiny piece of. And we need each other to see those other pieces. This verse is also a reminder that we live in a broken world. We live in a world that has taken our differences and turned it into something to fear, something to value differently, rather than see as equal revelations of something much greater than ourselves. So rather than worship difference, we've seen it as something of a threat. We've weaponized it. We've attempted to eradicate it. And in doing that, we've attempted to eradicate the divine. We've attempted to eradicate what we can know of God, or whatever we call our source. But this verse tells us we don't have to do that, that we can turn back. The signs persist in nature, in ourselves. We just have to turn to choose and see them. As agents with free will, we are UUs, we love freedom. We have the gifts of reason and love, and we have to choose to see what we are doing to eradicate the divine so that we can restore it. We can honor it in one another. We have to be willing to acknowledge that there is something divine that we can learn from one another, that we can't know it all ourselves. And I'd like to end with one more sign. When I get to it. One of God's signs is that God created you from dust, and lo and behold, you became human and scattered far and wide. Another of God's signs is that God created spouses from among yourselves to live with in tranquility. God ordained love and kindness between you. There are truly signs in this for those who reflect. Another of God's signs is the creation of the heavens and earth, and the diversity of your languages and colors. There are truly signs in this for those who know. We all know. We just have to choose to know.
Please join us in another chant. This one is Bismillah ir-Rahman ir-Rahim. So I'm going to say those words again, if you could repeat them back. Bismillah here. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. And I believe that it means in the name of Allah, the most tenderly compassionate and merciful. So please join with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. 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 Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman, Ar-Rahim, Bismillahirrahman,
I'm tasked with talking about the Rumi immersion pilgrimage, which is an immersion pilgrimage that Star King has about every other year, where somewhere between 12 and 30 students and colleagues and friends of
of Unitarian Universalism and of Islam gathered together in Turkey for 2 weeks of reflection. But rather than trying to give you the full picture of what happens on that 2 weeks, which is totally impossible, I'm going to just share a short reflection I wrote after my time there in 2011 when I went with Reverend Wayne here. He might also be talking about it a little bit. We spent the first week of our trip stumbling around the holy sites of Istanbul in a jet-lagged haze that no amount of Turkish coffee could clear. I had arrived in Turkey as part of an immersion experience with 25 other members of my seminary. We admired the golden halos of icons in ancient Orthodox churches. We donned headscarves and kneeled shoulder to shoulder with Turkish women in modern liberal mosques. We climbed the cool, cramped cobblestone ramp that led to the balcony of a 4th century church that had become a 15th century mosque and was now a 21st century museum. We had to show our passports and wait for clearance between bomb-proof doors before entering an Ashkenazi synagogue. Every day, 5 times a day, the call to prayer echoed throughout the city from the minarets of its more than 3,000 mosques. And when that week ended, we watched the moon eclipse over the ferry that led us to the train that took us overnight to the city of Konya, homeland of Mevlana Celaluddin Rumi. So in the United States, most of us know Mevlana Celaluddin Rumi simply by the name Rumi. In the Sufi world, he's known more often as Mevlana, which means master or teacher. We had all traveled to Konya for the annual celebration of Mevlana's life and teachings known as the Shebi Arus. Every year, tens of thousands of Sufi Muslims from around the world descend on Konya for celebration and fellowship, prayer, and shared spiritual practice. During the day, we would study with professors and artists in residence who were from Mexico and India and Turkey and the United States. We cooked and cleaned together, we ate together, we shared really tiny bedrooms, we showered in cold water, and each night we hosted a worship service that was open to the entire community of Konya. In our free time, we would wander the streets. So on our first day in Konya, our lead professor and resident Sufi sheikh, Dr. Ibrahim Ferizaje, who's the provost of Star King, gave us his opening lecture. Dr. Ferizaje told us that the human heart is like a cardamom seed. Our goal on the trip was to crack open our hearts so that love, like the rich, velvety scent of cardamom, could fill our senses and fill the world. We must crack open our hearts so that love, like the scent of cardamom, fills the world. And a few days later, one of our artists in residence gave a workshop on the voice. Duja is her name, and she's a Mexican singer and spiritual leader of a community in Mexico City. Duja told us that our voices were connected with our truth, and that voicing what's in our hearts frees us. And then she sang us a song that she had written with lyrics gathered from the words of those who were there in that community for those 2 weeks. She didn't sing words that I had written. She didn't even sing words entirely in a language that I understood. But when Duha arrived at the refrain, I felt that she was singing directly to me. I cannot rise until I say yes. Evet ben de irahi aşk. Evet ben de irahi aşk. I leaned back against the lush carpeted wall. In Turkish, evet means yes, and bendehi rahi aşk means I am a servant on the path of love. It's a phrase that's told often by members of the Sufi community. I cannot rise until I say yes. Yes, I am a servant on the path of love. For a long time, I had been struggling with saying yes. The previous 5 years had been difficult for me. My father had been diagnosed with and later died from brain cancer. 2 years later, my marriage collapsed. Shouldering my grief, I began life anew on the other side of the country here in Portland, Oregon, only to feel the call to ministry 2 years later, which meant going to Star King and moving again. I resented my call to ministry. But by the time I was in Konya, I'd already been in seminary for a year, but I still was struggling to finally actually say yes to ministry. So I began to sing to myself as I walked around Konya. In shops stacked high with prayer rugs, I cannot rise until I say yes. Thanking the street vendor for the figs and the sesame-scented pretzel. Evet bendehi rahi ashk. Covering my face from the thick fog of coal smoke that blanketed the city every evening. Evet bendehi rahi ashk. As the twists and turns of Konya's streets became inscribed in my memory, the call to say yes became inscribed in my heart. I'd been singing to myself for days by the time the Shebi Arus ceremony finally arrived. Thousands of us flocked to the large museum in the center of Konya that houses Mevlana Rumi's tomb to await the ceremony. We had arrived over an hour early for a good spot, and I soon found myself directly in front of Mevlana's tomb. I'd become separated from all but one member of my group, and even he was about 10 feet away from me. The air was filled with a buzz of conversation that I couldn't understand. The man to my right prayed from a small copy of the Quran that he held very close to his face. The woman in front of me chanted quietly in Arabic as she passed prayer beads through her fingers. As more and more people filled the hall, we became packed more tightly together, and we were standing so close that we could have been the world's largest group hug if we had only reached out our arms, and I feared that we would become one of the world's largest human stampedes if even one person became violent. I was separated from my group, and I didn't speak or understand the language of the people around me. I was one wave in an ocean of people, and I was alone, cramped, unable to move. I felt all of the loneliness and resentment and grief of the past 5 years well up inside me. So I prayed. I prayed to truly become a servant on the path of love. I prayed for my heart to be broken open. I prayed that I might finally say yes. I prayed and prayed until tears were rolling down my face, and I kept praying and kept crying until suddenly the soft, spicy scent of cardamom wafted under my nose. I began laughing aloud as the tears continued to trail down my face, because Dr. Ferjarji never kids, cardamom is actually the scent of love. My friend looked over at me from where he stood, and seeing my tears, he mouthed, "Are you okay?" "Yes." My friends, may we all become servants on the path of love. And may we all learn to say yes. This is a piece that's from the Taizé community of France, a Christian community. It's a short chant. The words are, "Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You and all the world are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia." So please join us as you get a feel for the music.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You and all the world are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace.
Years ago, it was my privilege to direct the UUA's Washington office. And at that time, the State Department would have treks where leaders from the Middle East would come over regularly to be briefed on all kinds of things. And part of what they could do is indicate things they were interested in finding someone to talk to about in the United States. So one year, a group said, we really want to talk to a Unitarian Universalist. We've been researching this online, and we are really intrigued by this religion. And so a group of men came, and we talked for several hours, one of the deepest theological conversations that I've ever had outside of seminary or something, where they really were so interested to find us. And then at some point, they looked at each other and nodded and said, Sufi. Well, to my surprise, the next State Department tour, also, people on that tour indicated, until actually the State Department added us as a regular stop on the tour because the internet was introducing Muslims to this faith that wasn't insulting to them, and they were really intrigued by it. And I started thinking then about the opportunity we had to be that kind of bridge that Star King is clearly becoming. It's so exciting to hear about this multi-religious community that's creating leadership for our times. Because if you look at the Pew Forum data, you don't have to. If you go talk to people in your town or your kids' school or anywhere, what you find is a lot of people in multi-faith families now. In fact, a huge majority of people, if you count multiple Christian denominations, the majority of people are now in multi-faith, at least that level of families, and that's only going to increase. And it's my belief that we have a really particular opportunity that I find extremely exciting to do the kind of outreach, to have the kind of welcome, not only at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, where I am really interested in meeting up with people here. I'm here really to do a secret ad. I would love to talk to people who would like to create covenant groups or online worship. We just had Ranwa do a Ramadan homily, and people just loved it. People were so hungry for it. And so I think everyone here who is not practicing Sufism, you feel the strength of these songs come through you, and you think who we could be. So this is my charge to all of us, to learn from Star King and to create similar communities at home.
This next piece, I'm not exactly sure where it comes from. I learned it from the Black church tradition. It's called Sanctuary. And the first word is, oh Lord, prepare me. If that feels uncomfortable, feel free to say, oh love, prepare me, or oh God, prepare me. So the words are, oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. So we'll sing it and join in with us as you get a feel for it.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for
It was so moving to listen to Abby tell the story of the pilgrimage experience that some of us in this room have had, traveling to Konya to the shrine of Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi at the anniversary of his homegoing, and to touch in the deepest possible way the lived meanings of his teachings within our own hearts. The translated words that are ascribed to Rumi and that we so often sing together calls to those who are the lovers of leaving to join the caravan of pilgrims. No caravan of despair, we sing, one that is always leaving and always coming back to that new place of practice as if it was for the first time. What is it about the experience of pilgrimage, of being a pilgrim who leaves home in search of that one truth that can unite all expressions of truth, and then return home again with that prize? What is it about pilgrimage that seems to unite so many of the great traditions of faith in the world, and that gives us insight into the foundation that holds and holds up all of them? In Islam, one of the five pillars is the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, to circle the Kaaba, to stone the devil, to honor the life of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Rumi himself was such a pilgrim, driven by invasions from the home of his birth in Afghanistan, westward to Baghdad, and then on to Mecca, where he completed the Hajj, finally through Damascus to the Anatolian region of what we now call Turkey, where he finally settled and taught. By the time that he arrived in Konya in the middle of the 13th century, this was a region that had already witnessed so much pilgrimage that had brought war as well as deep engagement, Christian pilgrimage from Europe. Pilgrims who were undertaking their crusade, their search for the Holy Grail, to the sacred sites of Christian belief in Jerusalem, to bring back some small measure of truth that they could carry in their hearts. At this same time, on the other side of the world, in the Song Dynasty of China, the middle of the 13th century, was the period of the greatest flowering of the Chan Buddhist tradition, with pilgrims from all over Asia coming to the four sacred mountains. And one of them, the great teacher Dogen, carrying the Chan wisdom back to Japan after his own pilgrimage and founding what we call Zen. As Unitarian Universalists, we enjoy the privilege and the freedom to travel in our own time. We too engage in pilgrimages of faith, whether that be to sites that have been visited by the faithful for millennia in far corners of the world, or whether that be the sites that hold the stories of our own tradition. The rock in the front entrance of the Unitarian Church in Koleshwar, where Francis David preached to a crowd upon his return to that city, or perhaps to the cabin at Walden Pond, where Thoreau preached to himself in the solitude of his own meditation. What is common to all pilgrimage, what is common to all of these traditions of faith is the belief that the journey of our lives that we recreate in pilgrimage returns us to the center from which we started. We begin that journey in the womb of the Great One. And from the moment that we experience the fear of separation from that one and cry out in our surprise and our suffering, we are immediately in danger of forgetting what we once knew about who we truly are. We human beings have so many ways that we try to remember that. We love Jesus in our prayers and remember him who was said to be divine and human all at once, and we remember that we are like that too, every one of us. We sit on our meditation cushions and watch the swirling current of our thoughts, and our thoughts of this and of that and of not this and maybe that, carrying us along like a turbulent river, and we do what we can to settle ourselves into the remembrance that we are not the river of thoughts, but we are the ocean into which that river is always flowing. And we turn as we will in this zikr today, recreating the journey of the earth around the sun and of the galaxies, around a center that we cannot begin to imagine, traveling yet never leaving, moving in recreation of the pilgrim's journey, yet never being uprooted from our one place on this earth, lost in the love that holds us all. Have you imagined how we could embody standing on the side of love? Would it be like this? Would it be like this? Why couldn't it be like this? Does love have a side? This is what pilgrimage means and points to in all faiths. And Unitarian Universalism honors this deep conviction and foundation of all of these sources that we claim, that we honor in our faith. In the testimony that all that we can know of God is the experience of oneness with that divine, however it comes to us, mostly as love, and that all we can do in response to that love is to vow to save all beings from the suffering that results from the illusion of our separateness by how we act as channels for that love. Rumi himself said it best in this translation from Anne-Marie Schimmel. Oh, you who've gone on pilgrimage, where are you? Where? Oh, where? Here. Here is the beloved. Oh, come now. Come, oh, come. Your friend, he is your neighbor. He is next to your wall. You, erring in the desert, what air of love is this? If you'd see the beloved's form without any form, you are the house, the master. You are the Kaaba. You, where is the bunch of roses if you would be this garden? Where one soul's pearly essence when you're the sea of God? Sit with me in silence for 1 minute in affirmation of this teaching.
Peace be upon us all.
Mindful of time, I want to make a really quick offering of a dua or prayer practice from the Chisti and UU traditions of Sufism. Maybe this is Sufism with two U's, because that works in a lot of places. And I want to offer it to you as a practice that maybe you'd want to bring into your life, maybe you don't. It's up to you. But it's something that kind of been a hybrid practice that's developed in my own life and in our order's practices. When we pray, there's three very simple steps and movements into divine presence and into divine awareness that we go through. When we pray, we hold our hands like this before us. It's kind of traditional Muslim dua if you're offering up prayer. And we say to ourselves first before we pray often, it's Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is, again, Bismillah is in the name of Allah. And ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the infinitely compassionate and the tenderly merciful. So we say that to say we actually are in the presence of God, that God's not out there somewhere, God's not, you know, only in this person, but not in that person, but that we call ourselves into an awareness that we right now in this very moment are like in the embryonic fluids of God. The actual origin of the words ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the queer feminist in me loves this, is the word womb. So when we say ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we're not only invoking compassion and mercy, but also the awareness of being within womb. So collective or cosmic womb. So that womb of love, that heart of love. So the first thing we do is we enter into the awareness with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We then offer the prayers of our hearts. So we take a few moments to offer up whatever it is. Perhaps, on my heart, it's been the deaths and the terrorist murder in the AME church of this past week or week and a half ago. They have been so on my heart. So to offer peace and blessing unto their families, unto the global community as we strive to be an anti-racist world and to right historic wrongs, and so many other things, whatever's on your heart. It's just a space to call to mind all of those things that your deepest heart calls you to. And then when we close out the prayer time, I close it out like this. We take it, and as if kissing God as our beloved before us, we kiss our fingertips. And as we kiss our fingertips, we think of that presence of God, that nearness and that intimacy with God, and we touch our eyes that we may remember that we see God in all that is about us. We touch our ears that we might hear God in all that we learn and all that we hear, from the birds to laughter to friendship to conversation to teaching. We touch our nose that we might smell the perfume of God in the sense of this world. We touch our third eye that we might perceive and understand that mystery and that divine presence which is before us if we call our awareness to it. And then we circle all of our being arriving in our heart to bring awareness that the beloved is all about us in all of these things and all of our senses and everything that we encounter. And this seals our prayers. So I just wanted to offer this as a Sufi with two U's practice to all of you that you may want to bring into your spiritual exercises to have some Sufism and a little bit of Islamic practice. We are now going to be joined digitally by Dr. Ibrahim Farajaje, the provost of Star King School for the Ministry. I'm going to try to make this as loud as possible without making it too loud. So if you can't hear in the back, you might want to move forward a little bit, as will be on the video screen. Ibrahim Farajaje has been at the forefront of progressive Islam as a professor of Islamic and cultural studies, a noted theologian, activist, artivist, as he often will say. And he's joining us with his son Isa from Turkey. They just recorded this video the other day for our gathering here to offer these words in the holy month of Ramadan, what we often call the queen of months in our feminist tradition.
all those who struggle for freedom and for justice and for the oneness of all being. We remember them, and we also ask the permission of the people indigenous to this area, to this land, to give us their blessing and their permission to gather here during this sacred month of Ramadan. We give thanks and ask permission of all beings, of all forms, the rocks, birds, trees, the bees, the waters. We ask their permission to gather here as well. And how appropriate in this sacred month of Ramadan to live this powerful connection between all beings and to gather in the celebration of the oneness of all, the oneness of all being. That is really the radical message and the core of our practice of Sufism. We celebrate with each gathering, with each breath, with each moment, we celebrate the inherent worth and dignity of all beings. That's what this sacred month reminds us. I know that a lot of people, when they think of Ramadan, they think, oh, that's another one of those scary Muslim things, where they don't eat and they don't drink and they're in the heat and they're working, and it never crosses anybody's mind that this sacred month of Ramadan is a time of feasting, not only a time of fasting. It is a time of being awake, not just of sleeping so that we don't feel the hunger pangs or the thirst. It is a time of creating community for those who do not have community. Often I speak about what I like to call the practice of greening Ramadan, where Ramadan becomes a time where we think of all of those who are excluded, all of those for whom this month is troublesome or troubling, and how we create green space, alternative communities that include those who are, because of race, because of disability, because of sexual identity, gender expression, what have you, often excluded. This is the time when we say, come, come, whoever you are. Now, Ramadan brings us into a very specific relationship with our mother, the earth, as well. Because we have to pay attention to the rhythms of our body, to our hunger, to our sleep, in a way that we don't usually do. We just consume without thinking about it, and without thinking about what the meaning of that, just eating and drinking at random, what that means about how we relate to the earth. So if we come to this green approach to Ramadan, we are thinking about water, we are thinking about climate change, we are thinking about food justice. And as we gather every evening at the iftar, it's an important time to celebrate this, to talk about these things, to bring them into our consciousness. For this is a month of radical social justice. This is a month when, for example, our blessed teacher, Bawa Muhayyaddin, from Sri Lanka and Philadelphia, when he says that this is the month when we have to think about others. This is the month when we have to think about the earth, when we have to think about other people, when we really, really have to move ourselves off center stage. This year in particular, our Ramadan is deeply grounded in Black Lives Matter. And I know that often some people say, well, all lives matter. Why should we just say Black Lives Matter? Sometimes those lives that have been the most forgotten need to be brought to center stage. That doesn't mean that they will always be, inshallah, at center stage. But in this time right now, this is important. This is a Ramadan of Black Lives Matter. Just as we traveled with the Star King Rumi pilgrimage immersion a few months ago in December, where we traveled with a banner that said Black Lives Matter, where we tombs of Sufi mystics and saints. And leaving those tombs, we would walk through a town chanting Black Lives Matter, connecting always the spiritual and the political, because why? We don't have lives that are just one thing or another. As our Blessed Mother Audre Lorde says, we're not single issue people because nobody has single issue lives. And that's part of the deep teaching for this sacred month. And as we fast, and as we remember our relationship to our bodies and to the earth, in a way that I like to call eco-halal, halal that is based in justice, not just is this kind of meat or that kind of meat, or was it killed this way or was it killed that way, but acknowledging how it connects us to the earth and to each other. This is all deeply expressed in the zikr, in the ceremony of remembrance, where we recite La ilaha illallah. There is nothing that exists apart from the oneness of being. Nothing can be called other. Everything exists. And it's actually sort of, to say it in a 2015 kind of way, it's the zikr, which is the proclamation of tawhid, of the oneness of all being, which is an intersectional zikr, in the sense that this is the struggle against racism, which is the struggle against sexism, which is the struggle against Islamophobia, which is the struggle against transphobia, biphobia, homophobia. This is about food justice. This is about the falling of the prison industrial complex. This is about opening gates and hearts and resisting anti-immigration policies. This is the uniting also with the struggle against class, against ableism, all of those things that separate us. La ilaha illallah is our message of the radical oneness of all.
I burst into the flame.
And we just have a few moments before we are released. Do I have a few volunteers who would maybe like to come to the center aisle or to the front and join me as I teach some quick basic Sufi adab or etiquette to whirl? A few volunteers, if you just want to step into the center or into the front, just find a little bit of space so you won't run into your siblings. And as we begin to whirl, we'll go slowly. Abby and Sophia will lead us in some zikr. So find some space. You have a little bit of space. You can stretch your arms out and twirl without hitting anyone, hopefully, inshallah, means God willing. And to begin, we begin, and maybe find a partner. Look at someone near you. If you don't have a partner, that's fine. You can do it by yourself, too. I'm an introvert, totally down with that. So you want to begin with your right big toe over your left big toe, your hands over your heart, because through this practice, you're going to be dipping deeper into the cave of the heart, into the endless recesses of love. You become a conduit from the love that is transcendental, the love of the heavens, to the love of earth in this ritual. So you're actually, you become generators of love. Maybe, I'm sure you've, as children, swung around and felt something of the trance that it puts you into. This is the perfected form, we might say. So as you whirl, it's important that you pick one space, a spot like a drishti, as they would say in yoga, that you concentrate on so that you keep coming back to that space so you don't get dizzy and fall over. Don't whirl too fast. This is your first time, probably. How the whirling begins is you bow to your heart. So you're holding your heart. You have your toe over your other toe, and you're going to raise your right hand up like this, and this hand is receiving grace from the heavens. As you begin to move clockwise, stepping with your right foot out while your left foot stays fairly center. So I'm giving a very basic form here. Now slowly, your left hand descends down so that your palm is facing downward, and this is the movement of giving away grace. So you receive grace, it's transfigured in your heart, and you give it away with these movements. As you conclude, you slowly bring your arms back to your heart, returning back to heart-dwelling awareness, and you stop and you wait until the room stops spinning, and you go. So we're going to have some zikr, and we're going to begin and whirl. And it said that as you whirl and you're creating the space between the heavens and earth, you think about fixing all those places of brokenness in reality and throughout the world. And through this, you become a conduit of fixing those places of brokenness. So let us whirl for just a minute or two to feel some of the energy of this practice.
And those are the rest of us who are going to sing for them. I invite you to put your right hand on your heart. We're going to do Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the way we sang it before. I just invite you, if it's common to turn your head this way and then turn your head sort of back down. So your chin is, there's nothing other than Allah, and then sort of bringing Allah into your heart. So as we do it, feel free to do a smaller embodied movement. So,
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. 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 Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
I'd like to close with these words of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family. These were the words that he offered in his farewell sermon on his deathbed after offering praise and thanksgiving to Allah. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. May it be so. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. Praise be to God, and may we always be forgiven. Thank you.
That was a sama. You can just call it a